get old. Who knows the name of that snowman?
Olaf.
Olaf, yeah. Do you know what Olaf's name means?
No.
Oh, nope.
Norway.
Oh, it is Norway for something. You're right. Anyone know? Oh, so we know. It actually means descendant or ancestor. I don't know why that matters at all, except for the fact of this. We all know this lovable little character, right? Everybody knows Olaf. He's the best, right? How many of you guys love Olaf? Any Olaf lovers in the room? Three of you? Like, how do you not like that snowman? He's awesome, Florida people. But we probably, most of us didn't know the name and what it meant, what actually Olaf meant. And so, actually, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about Jesus. I know it's weird because my mind does weird things. But as I was thinking about Olaf and how much we love him, but yet don't really know what his name actually means. We just accept it. I was thinking about Jesus and Christmas time, and my weird mind was going in weird places, and I was thinking it's kind of the same thing, that a lot of times we think of Jesus, and we love him, and we think of this dude who died for us on a cross, and there's all this affection. He's this, like, kind of character that most people are like, yeah, he's a cool dude. We've been seeing videos at the beginning of Firehouse where people are sharing kind of that same story for the last few weeks. Who's Jesus to you? And, like, he's this good guy. He's this prophet. He's this cool dude. But how many people actually knew who Jesus really was? Like, what his name really means. And the power and the meaning of the name of Jesus is huge, but most of us just kind of think of him as this kind of big Santa Claus sometimes, who's there for us when we need him and we have prayer requests. We make our list out and we kind of bring it to Jesus and say, here you go, just like Santa. Like, this is, these are the things I really want, Jesus. Can you do this for me? But when it comes time to know who he really is, sometimes we're found lacking. Like, who is Jesus? What does his name really mean? And so as we're walking through this series together, I'm sharing with you guys 11 reasons why I believe in Jesus. I believe without a doubt in my heart that he is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the only way I can be saved. And I have placed my trust in Jesus to forgive my sins so that I can be united with God forever in heaven. I believe that. And here we've been sharing through, I've shared four with you so far, and we're looking tonight at reasons 5, 6, and 7 of why I believe that. I believe he's real. He's the real deal. He's not just some made-up story. He's not just a figure everybody loves, great prophet or a man. He is the King of Kings, the only one who can save you and me. He's the only hope we have. There's no other hope but Jesus. And so tonight, I want to share with you reasons 5, 6, and 7. To remind you real quick, my first reason was all the prophecies that he fulfilled. Like, an unbelievable amount of prophecies that are basically impossible for anyone to ever fulfill, Jesus did. Second one was that he claims himself to be God. Like, we can trust it. He actually believes and claims himself clearly, I am God, right? We wouldn't want to trust someone who's not sure themselves of what they claim, right? I don't know, I might be God. I'm not going to trust someone like that. But he says, no, I am God. Number three was his miracles that he performed that people recorded and witnessed and saw, these unbelievable miracles that people all over were all saying the same things about these things and testifying to them. I don't know many people that can do miracles, but Jesus did. And then fourth was his siblings, his brothers and sisters, who started off calling him crazy, end up, one of them even dying and being martyred for the cause of Jesus. They believed so radically that he really was the Son of God. And some of you guys are thinking about your brother and sister right now. Like, what would they think about you? Like, they know you so well, all the things you've done. They've seen all the kind of backroom things that no one else knows about you. And yet, his brothers and sisters still said he is truly the Son of God. So that's a fourth reason why I believe. And so tonight, we're looking at Hebrews 1, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to share with you my next three reasons, okay? Hebrews 1, 3 and 4 says this. He is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So here we go. Reason number five is this. He has the most misused name of any name out there. Now, we were just talking about Olaf, and most of us, right, we didn't know what Olaf actually meant, but we were familiar with it. Some of us are so familiar with the name of Jesus that we don't really grasp what it actually means. We don't even grasp like what it means for us, for your life, for your eternity. You just kind of be like, yeah, this dude at church, he talks a lot about this guy named Jesus, and I hear about him a lot, you know, and then we move on with our life because we have exams and tests and sports and people that we're trying to impress and all these different things we want to go to that we kind of just accept what we hear about Jesus and move on. I want to challenge you, don't be that person. Dig into the name of Jesus. Figure out who Jesus really is, not just in general, but in your life, what he means to you. So when someone comes up to you and asks you, hey, what are your 11 reasons or 5 reasons, or do you have a reason at all why you believe in Jesus with all your heart? What will you say? What will your answer be? Do you have an answer to go back to them and say, here's why? Because you've spent time thinking about the name of Jesus and who he really is, not just in general, but to you. Why you believe he is the Son of God, that he has died for all humanity to be saved, and that he rose from the dead. Why do you believe that? And so his name has been misused so much. Justin and I were hanging out with this, where we had met this older guy. I don't even know what we were doing. We're out in town doing something, and this older guy was talking to us, and if you know Justin, he loves to talk. So he was sitting there chatting with this guy, and they're going back and forth, back and forth. And he had introduced himself and said, my name's Justin. The guy introduced himself. And throughout the entire conversation, the dude just could not get Justin's name right. But he kept wanting to say Justin's name. It was one of those. So he started off calling him Jace. And then Justin would kind of giggle like, no, my name's Justin. He'd be like, oh, yeah. And the next time he called him Jason. And the next time it was Jackson. And the final last time before we left, he called him Jordan. He never once called him Justin, even though every time Justin corrected him was like, no, that's not my name, dude. Like, he just couldn't get his name right. And I feel like sometimes as we approach Jesus, we do that. In a spiritual way, we do that to Jesus. He keeps going, hey, this is who I am. Like, I love you. I want you to walk away from that sin and follow me. And we're like, yeah, just, yeah, you know, really like this. And he's like, no, but see, I hate sin. I died for sin. I hate it so much. And I don't want you to be a part of that. And you're like, yeah, you know, but. And Jesus keeps introducing who he is to you, keeps telling you who he is, that he is holy and that he's righteous and that he's died for you. And some of us keep going back to him and just misunderstanding or ignoring altogether. And we just keep getting his name wrong over and over. But Jesus is right there constantly saying, hey, listen to me. Hey, I want to be your best friend. Hey, I want to be your savior. I want to be your king. And you just keep looking at him going, yeah, Jace, Jason, Jackson, Jordan, Jesus, somebody, right? I'm not sure I get who you really are. Listen, it's hard to go anywhere in this world and find a place where the majority of people could tell you, like those videos we were watching of the people saying who Jesus is, people that actually get it, right? You walk in and you just hear lots of different versions of some kind of pretty story about a prophet or a good man or just some dude who had a big movement. Most people can't deny the power of it, right? They're all like, wow, it changed the world, but he must have been a good salesman or a good preacher or a good whatever. But a lot of people won't come to the point where they admit who he really is, right? They'll say, there's a lot of power there. We can all tell, like, the whole world has changed because of this guy, but he's not God. He's some other thing that was really impressive. And what you need to know tonight is he absolutely was God. Tonight, he is God. And he will forever be God. Jesus is not just some prophet or some good man. What will you say when someone asks you, who is Jesus? When they say, hey, you go to church or you go to a Christian school or you go to youth group. Like, what are you going to say? You must believe in Jesus, right? What will you say when you say, here's why? Hebrews 1:4, look at the end of that. It says, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. I love that the author of Hebrews is pointing out how important the name of Jesus really is. Like, there's a reason why when people swear, a lot of times they use the name of Jesus. You ever thought about that? Like, they're wanting to curse someone out, and yet they're saying the name of a savior to curse someone. It seems like ironic. It's a paradox. Why would I say this to you? Actually, the name Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua, which means salvation. So you cursing someone out, wanting this terrible thing to happen to them by yelling, salvation! Like, it doesn't even make sense. But people don't grasp the meaning and the purpose of who Jesus is. It's so misused. Matthew 1:21 says this. It's a prophecy. It says, she will bear a son, talking about Mary, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know why she was told to call him Jesus or call him salvation? Because that's what he came to do. Jesus came to save us. His very name is a convincing argument of why I should believe in him. And not just because a name is some title or some label we give each other to know one person from another person, but the Bible uses the word name in a really cool way. All throughout the Bible, the word name talks about the identity or the authority, the role that someone plays in life, right? Their position. It's not just their tag, their name tag. It's who they are. And so we talk about the name of Jesus, like in Philippians 2, where it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. It's saying that Jesus' authority is above everyone's. There is no one else with as much power or authority or position as Jesus. He is the greatest King of kings and Lord of lords. And so one day you and I will all be on our knees. And we'll either be joining each other because we believe it when we yell out, Jesus, you're Lord. Or you'll be on your knees kneeling with the rest of us because you don't have a choice. Because he really is Lord. And you might not agree with him. You might consider him your enemy, but you will be on your knees before him because he's God. I want to be on my knees before Jesus because I want to yell out, he's Lord. Because he is my Lord. I want to willingly bow down before him and say, Jesus, there is no one greater than you. There's no one more who has more authority than you. Your name is the greatest. And that's what I see when I look at the name of Jesus. It is unbelievable how it's responded to across the world. The whole globe has been changed by the name of Jesus. The salvation we can yell out when we yell out Jesus and we sing it when we sing these songs. We're singing salvation. That's what he's come to do for us. And I want to challenge you. Don't take that lightly. Don't just toss it around. Respect the name of Jesus that has guaranteed you eternal life if you have trusted in him. The name of Jesus that who came and died, literally gave his life for me and you. We should approach the name of Jesus with this heart that is full of worship and respect as we remember what he's done for us. And it causes us to go, I can't help but sing praises to that name. That's the name that saved me. That's the name that has freed me from sin and death and hell. That's the name that's guaranteed me eternity with my Creator. That's a big deal. The name of Jesus is salvation. I believe it. With everything I am, I believe that. Number six, here's my sixth reason, okay? Not just his name, but the fact that his name, being so powerful, has literally caused us to mark our calendars and our entire timeline based on his life. Jesus was that influential. You know, the letters, I'm sure you guys have learned in school, BC, when you're reading a calendar, means before Christ. And AD means Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. So it's like the birth of Jesus, his life literally marks like kind of the zero point on our calendar. So everything is centered around the life of Jesus. The whole world has restructured their concept of time around Jesus. That's a big deal. I don't think I'm ever going to do anything in my life that's impactful enough that the world will stop and say, hey, grab your calendars, remark these things, right? Put them, that's when Rob was born. Let's mark our whole world based on, like, that's not going to happen. I don't know anyone who's that influential that we're going to do that and base our whole calendar around them except for Jesus. What he's done has changed the entire timeline. And it was so impactful that the whole world said, stop. Stop. He's changed everything. Let's mark our very lives based on his life. That's a huge deal. There were so many people who saw him with their own eyes that were so convinced that they literally changed our calendar and our timeline. And here we are 2,000 years later, and it didn't change. It didn't get old. We didn't get bored of it. We didn't decide somebody else came along who was better or more impressive, right? If you're watching sports, right, and I say the name Tom Brady, what is your response? Whoa, whoa. See, it's mixed reviews, right? So some of us would say he's the greatest quarterback who's ever lived, and he's proved it by his records, okay? Now I say the word Mac Jones.
Oh.
No, you guys aren't playing along very well, right? Name another quarterback that you think is good.
Baker Mayfield.
Oh, gosh. Now you're just insane, right? It's not going to take long before this room is full of new people. Nathan Neivad might be the next, right? He's going to come up and people will be like, who's Tom Brady? Do you know Nathan Neivad, right? Because he's the new deal. That's just how it happens, right? And I'm kind of joking with Tom, but like, there's so many examples. There's so many examples. You know, Dan Marino was like the dude, right, in football. And now most of you are like, who's that, right? It changes, but over 2,000 years... Listen, over 2,000 years, and not one person has come along who's even touched our world, even a fraction of the amount that Jesus did. 2,000 years later, we're still using the same calendar based on the same man's life. That's a big deal. That's pretty convincing that he really was who he said he was, because he touched so many lives, and it's still 2,000 years later he's touching our lives today as we sit in this room and we're still talking about him. We're still using that same calendar. We're still using the same name, Jesus, tonight. That's a big deal. And so that's my sixth reason why I believe with all my heart, there is no doubt Jesus is who he said he was. And here's my last one, reason number seven for tonight. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit through a virgin birth. That's a big deal. Because Hebrews 1:3, check this out. It says that he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So Jesus, there's two things you need to know here. First of all, he is the visible glory of an invisible God. God is so big and so powerful, you can't contain him in a box. You can't see him with your eyes. He's so far beyond anything we can even sense with our normal senses. He is uncontainable. That's how big and powerful and amazing God is. And so what he's done is Jesus willingly stepped forward and took on a body like ours, poured himself into a body like ours to come down and be with us, to relate, to be the visible part of an invisible and immeasurable God. That's a big deal. But then there's more. Because he wasn't just like this good man that poured himself into this human body. Look at this. It says he was the exact imprint of God's nature. He didn't lose any of his divinity, which means his godness, right? He's still 100% God, exactly God, at the same time that he was exactly man. It's mind-blowing. Only God could do something like that. But Jesus walking around in a human body made him no less God. That's where we get mixed up today. That's where we misunderstand his name, right? So many people see the man part of him and like, oh, he was a good guy. He was a prophet. He was a priest. He was this. He was that. And they miss the fact he was God himself, the exact imprint of God's nature. And we know all this. We know he was born that way, that God literally, through the Holy Spirit, conceived him with Mary, that he had no earthly father. God was his father. And so he was God's offspring. Yet he was God himself. Is your mind reeling yet? This is an incredible thing that's beyond our comprehension, and yet God can pull it off. Isaiah 7:14 tells us how this went down. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Are you ready? Behold, the virgin shall conceive. Okay, that's impossible. Bing, 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 red flags, right? How does a virgin conceive a baby? Like, that's not how I learned in, like, biology class. That works. Like, that just doesn't work like that. And yet God can do it. And it tells us how. And she'll bear a son, right? And listen to this part. And she'll call his name Emmanuel. You know who's saying this verse? Who wrote this? The prophet Isaiah. You know when he wrote this? 700 years before Jesus was actually born. And everything, all the prophecies of Isaiah and his book went down exactly by the detail the way he wrote 700 years later. We could compare the gospels. Let's do that now. Let's look at Matthew 1, 22 and 23. This is what happens here. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Talking about Isaiah. All this stuff happened, Matthew says. Exactly how Isaiah said. And he quotes him. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this is Isaiah 700 years before. And then Matthew comes along and says, hey, y'all, remember what that crazy prophet said 700 years ago? What we've been looking for and waiting for? It happened. It happened exactly like he said it would happen. Do you think Matthew would write that if it hadn't? Do you think, like, just imagine today's world and how we respond when we see things like that. Immediately, what do? Let's critique it, right? Well, this was a little off, and this was a little off, and I think that guy's crazy. And we start to come up with our excuses why it's not possible and deconstruct the whole idea, right? And yet Matthew is sitting there going, no, there's no other explanation. This happened exactly the way it was prophesied. Jesus was born, and they called his name Emmanuel. And he tells us that Emmanuel means God with us. I love that. I love that the name that we're talking about tonight, that name of Jesus who was born to a virgin named Mary, that his name means God with us. Because how many of us tonight need to know that Jesus is with you? How many of you walked into this room tonight with a broken heart, thinking about what's going on at home, thinking about how you're going to get through school and exams and all these things coming up, seniors, where you're going to go to college and what you're going to do and how all this stuff's going to come together. And everybody brings their own stuff, I know, and you have your own story. But most of us can benefit from understanding and knowing that God is with you. You are not alone. This virgin who gave birth to this baby named Jesus is proof. God loves you enough to send his only son to be with us, Emmanuel, to come to earth, take on human form, to go to a cross and be crucified and die in your place, and not to stay dead because he's God. He's too powerful to stay in the grave. He's got all the authority over sin, authority over death, authority over everything, and so he rose from the dead. He left that grave and he is alive today. He's in this room. His presence is here. God with us, Emmanuel, right here as you guys sing these songs. Jesus is here listening. Jesus is here beaming. His face has a smile going, they're singing to me. God with us. So that means whatever you're going through tonight, he's with you. You're not facing it alone. That hurt, he's not surprised by it. He's not like unaware that you hurt, that you doubt, that you're depressed, that you're wondering what life is all about or why you're here, what's your purpose, all these questions that are going through your mind. He's not shocked and he's not surprised because he's with you. He's walking every step. He's going to school with you. Playing those sports with you. He's playing video games with you at night online. He's there. You're taking him with you as you go. And so as your heart goes through things, Jesus goes through them with you. That's the promise. Hebrews tells us that he is this high priest that understands our suffering, and he's come to understand the suffering. So he's not just sitting up on his throne like, hey, I don't really care. You guys do your thing. And when you mess up, I'm going to get you. That's not Jesus. Jesus knows your pain better than you know your pain. Jesus felt it. Jesus experiences it. He goes through it and he loves you. Christmas means Jesus is with us. God steps out of heaven and into our lives, into your heart. Nobody knows you more intimately than the one that lives inside of you, hearing your thoughts, feeling your feelings all day long. Your best friend, your mom, your dad, nobody knows you more intimately than Jesus. He's with you. That's our Emmanuel. How beautiful is it to know that he's come to live with us, that he's come to live in us. Some of y'all feel alone. And I want you to know that not only does Jesus live in you, you're surrounded by Jesus as he lives in the people that you call your church. So as your church comes around you as the hands and feet of Jesus, and they serve you and love you and help you and lift you up when you're down, watch out for your needs and have your back, they encourage you and you do the same for them. That's Jesus' hands and feet through this group of people, this church, that he dwells in you, but he dwells in his church. You're like, where is he today? Look around you. Look around this room. Not only is he here in spirit, he's here within each of us as we gather in this place. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Some of you guys have come and you're bringing that hurt that I was just talking about tonight. You got a broken heart. You're going through some stuff and you're just like, man, I just need to pray with somebody. I need to be encouraged. I need to be hugged. I need to know that things are going to be all right. And if that's you tonight, can I pray for you? Can you just raise your hand up and say, Rob, I could use some prayer tonight. Yeah, I see. I see him. Anybody else? Yeah, there's a lot of us that way tonight. Anybody else join us in that? Rob, pray for me tonight. Listen, before you go, I'm going to pray for you, but will you go to your life group leader and say, hey, that was me. I raised my hand tonight. Would you just pray with me? Let them hug you and love on you and pray with you. They would love to know that. And maybe there's one of you tonight that you're like, man, I've never met Jesus, this King of Kings that can save me and forgive my sin, but I want to know him. How can I be saved? How can I do that? If that's you tonight, will you raise your hand up and say, Rob, will you just pray for me? Like, I want to know how to be saved and forgiven of my sin. Just pray for me tonight. Would you raise your hand up? Just say, that's me. Let me pray. Pray with me right now. Father, thank you for being with us. Emmanuel, thank you that you're in the room, that you hear us. As I'm speaking, we're having a conversation with you right here together. God, thank you that you care about all of these kids and leaders that are gathered in this room. You care enough to die on a cross and be risen again from the dead. So if we trust in you, Father, you'll save us. You'll forgive us. You'll grant us eternal life in heaven. Jesus, I pray for those hands that went up. Lord, you saw there's a lot of hurting people in the room. There's a lot of people asking for prayer, and so I lift them up right now. And I ask you, Lord, will you be with them like you promised? Will you surround them with people from your church that love them? God, who can be your hands and feet to hug them and encourage them and help them as they walk through these hard times that they're going through. Holy Spirit, will you encourage their heart? Will you fill them with hope? Will you help them to see, Father, that you care? And Lord Jesus, I pray that at the end of this night, as we walk out of this room, that the thing that we see is that you're right there next to us and that you're living inside of us. Father, as we sing these last few songs, I just pray that you hear that, that you hear it from our hearts as we say, God, your name is above every name. Hear us worship you now. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.